Title of today's message is Consider the Worm. And before we're finished today, I hope that by the grace of God, each of you may see yourself as a worm. Did a little bit of research this week about worms. They vary in size from being extremely microscopic to 22 feet for the African giant earthworm. Imagine, 22 feet long. And then they say there's a marine worm that can reach the length of 180 feet. That's a big worm. The most common worm, though, is what we have around here as an earthworm. Our good friend Charles Darwin, in parentheses, says that every 20 years, normally, the earthworms will turn the topsoil over to a depth of 6 inches. But a worm does not have a brain. They have nerve centers called ganglia. They don't have eyes, but they have photoreceptors. And they can reproduce themselves or also with a mate. Worms have been around for a long, long time. It's reported that back in 50 BC, Cleopatra in Egypt made a law making it a crime to kill worms because they were so valuable in their contribution toward agriculture. Now I know all this has been exciting news to you to learn about the lowly worm today. Very earthly in nature. And just on the surface, if God were going to create a new image for me, if God were going to transform me into some type of animal, even with this good, useful information I've just shared, I would not choose to become a worm. I might choose something like the lofty eagle that flies from one precipice to another. I might choose to be a striped zebra and run through the jungles of Africa. Or I might choose to be, I don't know, what would you like to be?
A cookie.
A cookie? Be an otter. Maybe you might choose to be a deer or a cheetah or a lion or an elephant.
A peacock.
Peacock, I don't know. But is there anyone here today that would honestly raise your hand and say, I would like to become a worm? Oh, I almost got you. Now, turn with me in your Bible, though, and let's look at this from a biblical perspective. You know, a few years ago, they were promoting the idea that because of the high cost of feed and the high cost of meat production, that very soon, if you bought a hamburger from McDonald's or Wendy's or some other fast food place, you might be eating a mixture of worms with hamburger meat. Because worms are very high in protein. Now, I've never eaten a worm, have you? But you know what I want to do today? I want to give you an opportunity to eat a worm. As a matter of fact, I've got a bag full of here. And as part of our children's story introduction, I want you to do something you may have never done. Isaiah chapter 41, listen to this. In verse 14, he says, "Fear not, you worm Jacob, you men of Israel. I will help you, says the Lord, and your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel." That worm's kind of sour, isn't it? I can tell. When you read through Scripture, they had the idea that the worm It could be something earthly, just like I read about here with the earthworm and so forth, no pun intended. But it could also be something very good. It was a good title in the sense. You see, there's a lot of difference between humanity and the plant kings. You have feelings and emotions and psychology and a soul and a breath of life and all of that. It's different than the trees that we see around us here. The little puppy that Coco had up here earlier, just adorable little dog. But there's a lot of difference between humanity and all of the animal kingdom. There's a lot of difference also between humanity and God. There's like a big gap in here between what we are like and what God is like. And the worm is used here to represent the deepest recognition that a human can have of being emptied of humanity and wanting to be like God. There comes a point in every adult person's life when they wonder, who am I? What am I doing? Is life worth it? And that's exactly here in Isaiah chapter 41 what the scripture is all about. The first part of the verse says that we should fear not, you worm Jacob. Now, if you were a worm and you had a brain, you had something more than just ganglia, and you were in a metal can sitting in a fishing boat with three of these young boys over here, and you had any sense at all, you would be scared to death. You would know you were going to be used for fish bait, and you would soon be eaten up. But the text here for humanity, Bill, it says, fear not, you people who are worms. Do not be afraid, my people. That's what God's saying. Do not be afraid, my Jacob. Well, why not? Because I will help you, says the Lord. Now, you cannot empty yourself of the character of humanity on your own. But it can happen. And it must happen. That's the experience, Bruce, in the book of Romans. And you did a good job in Sabbath school this morning. That if we believe in Christ, we can be declared righteous. But until a person is empty, totally spilled out of selfishness and pride and arrogance and all of those things that we are born with, we cannot be filled with the Spirit of God. It is only when we are emptied of self and we see ourselves as worthless that we qualify to be a worm. And it's in that context of our great need of being like God and emptied of self that the scriptures declare that people who are on that spiritual journey are called a worm. No wonder then, he says, if you are on that journey, if you are making that part of your life process, do not be afraid, for I will help you. I found a real good example here of somebody who did this in the Bible, and you know him well, you visited him. It's David who wrote the book of Psalms. Would you believe me today if I were to tell you that he came to the place where he cried out before God and he says, God, I'm just a worm. And I want you to help me. His transference from being the king and to being the representative of God Almighty, of being the chosen one, that transference from that to the place where he cries out, God, I'm just a worm. It's written in Psalms here, chapter 22. If you read beginning in verse 6, this is his testimony. Now somebody's going to come back and they're going to say to me, Pastor, part of this is for Christ, it's messianic. I agree. But let me read it here as it might apply to the psalmist David. He says in verse 6, but I am a worm. Psalms 22:6. But I am a worm and no man. Is he telling the truth or is he lying? Is he really a worm? So is he lying? He's making confession. Lord, I'm as low down as I can become. I need something to lean on, something to trust in right now. Lord, I am a worm and no man. In the context here, that a man is standing tall and straight and muscular, and he breathes deep, and he has bright eyes, and the blood flows from his head to his feet, and he's ready. He's energized more than the energized bunny. Lord, I'm not that anymore. But before you, I'm just as a worm. God Almighty, I want to be changed from crawling on my stomach. I want to be changed from living in the holds of the earth. I want to be changed from being used as fish bait and everybody chomping on me and people eating me and people destroying me and trying to attack me. Lord, I'm not a man of humanity any longer. You sort of see that idea in verses 7 and 8. He says, all of those who see me ridicule me. They talk about me. They shoot out the lip. They shake their heads and they say, look at him. He trusted in the Lord. And look at him now. I'm telling you, you need this kind of experience. Open, heartfelt oneness with God Almighty that says, Lord, I'm not satisfied with where I am. I want you. I need you. Please, God, help me. It's for those people. It's for you that God says, fear not. If you're a worm, I will help you. Now when God begins to go to work, God does all kinds of things. His capacity to work for us is unlimited. Let your mind go back through Scripture, and you could tell me probably 25, 36 different stories of God's miraculous work. In the book of Genesis, you have the earth destroyed by a flood. But God holding up the ark out in the middle of the waters deeper than the mountains that we have today. That boat could not just float on its own. It defies all the laws of nature to do that. God held it up. God preserved it. God kept it up. God opened the Red Sea and his people marched across. The waters piled up on either side. When God goes to work for his people, anything can happen. You know the New Testament. There was that lady. We don't know her real name. She's from the city of Nain. And her son was dead. We've studied about this before. And Jesus happens to be in the presence of that funeral procession coming by. And when Jesus spoke, that young man who was dead came back to life again. It reminds me of the resurrection of Lazarus. I mean, you can just feel the power and the energy of God's Word helping those who are willing to empty themselves and say, Lord, I want you. I need you. How long has it been since you've done that? you should do it today. I don't think it would be wrong if we did it in the morning, if we did it in the afternoon, if we did it in the evening as we had our worship. And we cry out, God, I'm not what I want to be. I'm not what you want me to be yet, but I am available. Use me. Fill me. I'm afraid sometimes that we limit God. He who by his voice creates the worlds wants to create a new person in us. And we worry about things like do my clothes match? Is my hair fit? Have we got enough food? There are more serious things that we concern ourselves with, such as health issues and finances and jobs and all of that that comes with everyday living. And there is a place for proper concern, but it is not healthy to have just a worrisome spirit about all of that. The scripture says, if we become lowly, to do not be afraid, because God will help us. I believe God is helping us today in ways that we cannot even identify. God is working in our lives. Loving Father, today we thank you for the lessons of nature that we learned so much from. And our recognition today is that you are the God of nature, and that someday you have promised that the change we talk about and pray about will come to complete fruition. And then we shall see you face to face. I ask here in the presence of the Holy Spirit, in the quietness of this moment, with heads bowed and eyes closed, each one of us would just say, thank you, Lord, for giving your life for me. Thank you that I can be declared righteous today. And I'm thanking you in advance for taking the life that I give to you and making it what you want it to become. In Jesus' name, amen.